Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, what do you think?
What is it, folks?
12, 13 more days, and it's D-Day.
That's right.
Do we get 4 more years of Mr. Trump, or do we get 4 more years of the guy that doesn't know what state he's in when he's giving a talk? I leave it up to you. I'm not going to get into it. Mama used to tell me, God bless her soul, no politics, no religion. Just go on, let people do what they want to do. I'm walking the fence. I know who I want to get in. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'll tell you what, on that Wednesday, after that Tuesday, the first Tuesday of November, we'll talk about it because my show will be on that day. Maybe I'll be happy, maybe I won't. Maybe some of you people will be happy, maybe some of you won't. But we'll find out then, won't we? So all we're looking at is 2 weeks from today, and we will find out, folks. We'll know exactly who's going to run this crazy country of ours. Will it be the same man that's there? Or will it be the new guy trying to come in who was there as a vice president? Well, I leave it all up to you. I'm walking that fence, and I'm going to do what I want to have to do and what I do. I heel and toe it down that road, folks, each and every day, and I don't care about nothing else. I just hope for everybody the best, and we'll see what happens. And I guess that's all we need to do, don't we? So we'll leave it at that, and we got a hell of a show for you tonight, folks. Let me give you a little bit of background. I was kind of adding it all up. I think it's over about 125 years of the people who are on the show with us tonight who've been in the Bigfoot field. Me going, of course, the top of the heap. I've been in now, I guess, 53 years and going strong, I might add, and going strong. And I feel pretty damn good about it. And the culmination of all these other people. And there were some of the people, believe it or not, who have joined me one way or another along the line of those 53 years. And I feel privileged, really privileged, of having them along with me. It's been a fascinating road. Believe me, it really has. And but before we get into that, I understand that Lisbeth's still with us, and I'm pretty proud of her because she got a hell of a story to talk to us about, and we're going to start off with her. She's out there in Arizona. Lisbeth, you out there?
Sure am. I'm sure here.
How are you, darling?
I'm doing good.
Well, you know, you missed me. I came through your town. I left two messages. I was going to take you to dinner, and you never got back to me.
That's interesting. I never got the voicemail on that.
So where do you think it went? Cyberspace?
Probably.
Because I called Father Ray, and I said, Ray, where is she? She doesn't return any of the calls. He says, I don't know, but I'll call her. Ray, are you out there, by the way, in New Mexico? I don't think we got Ray.
Here.
You're there?
I'm here.
Do you remember me telling you about that when I called her?
Yes, I did. Yes, I do.
Okay. So we got her with us tonight, though, Ray, and I feel privileged to have her. What's been going on out there? Anything, kid?
Well, I wish I had some good news, but we've been plagued with fires all around the city, and it almost seems like they're trying to burn out all of our recreational area, all around the edges.
Oh, the fires, that hit you pretty hard?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There seems to be a correlation between the fires and magma coming up from these earthquakes on low-grade ones. So we're kind of watching that to see, since we're so filled with cinders here, there's, you know, potential for that.
Wow. Wow, yeah, okay. Well, listen, it's a crazy world right now, Elizabeth. I got to tell you, I've never seen such hurricanes, fires, earthquakes, tsunamis. I mean, you know, they had that earthquake in Alaska, of all places. And now
right.
They have, I'm sorry?
No, I was just calling. I said, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, 7.5, one of the biggest that I've ever known. And it's created a tsunami, and I don't know where it, whatever happened to it or wherever it went, but it is what it is, right?
You know, you wonder about these, you know, the Bigfoot species with all this weather and fires and stuff like that, how it must be affecting all the wildlife, having to move around and get out of the way, and, you know, you wonder how they deal with it.
Oh, yeah, listen, I got to tell you something. It blew me away, and I'll tell you why. I've been getting calls like crazy, and I got to tell you, and I understand the reason why, okay?
Okay.
Because it's migrational time right now, okay? And that's
okay.
Mainly. And what's happening is, which blows me away totally, is that more people, even though we've been plagued by this COVID-19, we're still having a ton of people that are out there And I think what's happened, Elizabeth, is they don't care. They're tired of being cooped up. The old adage, you got cabin fever. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what they want to do is just, they figure, well, I'll get out there in the woods, go hunting or go trekking there, do whatever they want to do and see what, you know, what we find. And they're coming across these large footprints, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, they're calling all the time and they're saying, hey, you know, something's not right, Tom. Something's not right, you know. We never seen this happening in our neck of the woods, but it's happening, and that's the key, see? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I really don't, because I don't want my guys getting sick, and that's why I've been holding back to see if it gets any better. But I think we'll be out there before you know it, and everybody says, oh, well, when the cold comes, it's going to kill the disease. Yeah. You know, they said when the heat comes, it was going to kill the disease. And you saw what happened. It just got even worse. But I don't know. I don't know. Listen, for some of the people that don't know your story, Elizabeth, because it's been a while since we've talked to you, why don't you reconnoiter and tell everybody exactly what happened with you and the encounter and what you experienced? And if you don't mind.
Yeah, I've got you know, a couple of them. But I'll just kind of, would you want me to start with something that was, because I've got a couple encounters that I shared with you since I've been on a couple times. So I'm not sure if you want to do something more subtle or the one with the clapping and the woodpecker, or if you want to do something with the, Well, one story I will share with you that's I know it's related, but at the time that it happened, I didn't realize it. But now that I look back, I will say that definitely was what it was. Is I was sitting with my friend in the forest one time, and these pine cones kept falling down around us, but when we would look up, the trees weren't directly over us. So we kept trying to figure out, how are these pine cones falling around us, but the trees weren't directly above us. So they would randomly roll and just come out but we didn't know it was them or that could potentially be them. So we kind of just brushed it off and didn't start watching where they were coming from specifically. We just kept thinking that it was raining pine cones, and we couldn't figure out like where they were coming from, the trees. But that was one thing that I would say that I look back now, and I would think that would have something to do with that situation. So,
okay. So why don't you start from the first time when you had your first encounter?
Okay, well, my first encounter was when I did there was a teepee tree structure. I had moved up to the White Mountains, and there's a lot of burned area. And at this point, I was already aware that they were there potentially from the tree structures that I was finding. So at this point, I decided to try to take it a little bit further and create some type of a dialogue or an exchange of whatever these, you know, potential beings could be. So I picked a teepee that was in the burn section that I could drive to in about 15 minutes. And I put a seven-pointed star stick structure underneath it in a small pattern. And I came back in about a week, and it had been dismantled where I couldn't see it. It had been totally just dismantled. And so I didn't know if it was just a random thing that happened. So I made another structure, but I made it more of an arched off the ground, so that way I could make sure that it had been messed with by the sticks laying down. So when I came back a week later again, it had been dismantled. It looked like it had never been there. So then at that point, I knew that something was intentionally trying to mess up my stick lifts. So I went ahead and I did something very simple. I took four sticks that were the same size, the same shape, no bark, and I pressed them into the terrain. And I came back a week later, and I have pictures of it actually, but the four sticks were bundled together, and had taken another stick separate that had a natural bow in it and were tucked in the bow, and another stick was woven through, and it was set just outside of the teepee perimeter. And so at that point, I knew that something intelligent had gathered my sticks and done that as a way of communication. And the fact that it was remote and that you had to hike to it a little ways, no one was going to be watching me do that to mess with me and know when I was coming back. So that was my first really feel-good experience, was trying to have a communication with them in a sense of a dialogue, because I sense they were out there and I'm out in the woods a lot, and I know that they knew that they would see me because I was in the area out there all the time hiking and searching for rocks. There's a lot of crystals and agate in the area, and so I'd go rock hounding a lot. And that's when I would find their trail networks, and there's tree structures, and I would follow their trails and find berry patches and springs and stuff that I didn't know that were there. And so anyway, would you like to add in on that?
Well, no, it's, you know, these tree structures, I got to tell you something. We just, last week up in Montana, Brother Bruce up there of the Blackfeet Indians, he and his daughter went out, and you can go on our Facebook, and you'll actually see a picture that was taken of one of the creatures, and the lairs beside the tree structures. And oh, by the way, everybody, I want to remind everybody right now, go to our Facebook, go to Searching for Bigfoot, and you'll see, second one down, Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths. My graphics guy, my agent sent it over. It's the new teaser about the new movie. It's going to be a series of four. You'll see the little teaser on it right now. It is exceptional. You need to take a look. Go to Facebook. Go put in Searching for Bigfoot. Second one down. Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths, ladies and gentlemen. You'll go out of your mind. It's the preview of one of four that's coming up. And I just can't wait till they're all here, too, because it's just blowing me away. And I'm very, very proud of it. Very, very proud of it. So I don't mean to interrupt you on that, but I didn't want to forget it, Elizabeth, when I had.
No, but, that's great. That's wonderful.
Know, thank you. And but to get back to your stick structures and to get back to these layers,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some incredible stuff that's being found out there right now. And I mean incredible. That wasn't out before, and it's coming
to
the surface.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've actually tried to attempt to mimic the same stuff on a smaller scale,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been able to do it. You know, you look at it, and some of the weaving and some of the stuff, it looks rather simplistic. But when I try to emulate it, I wonder if they have the ability, I don't know, you just wonder if they also have the ability to bend things from a frequency standpoint than just a firm snapping, bending. Almost like when you heat something like lead, you heat it up and it makes it a little bit more malleable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you let it cool, it stays in that position. Because
mm-hmm.
the way some of the stuff is bent and arched and things like that, it almost looks like it was like treated like you would treat wood for wood carving or wood crafting.
And exactly. And the thing that blows my mind is the ones that I've seen myself is the thatching and the interweaving. And these weren't cut by knives. They weren't by hatchets. They weren't by machetes. They weren't with a saw. These were all done by hand. And it blew me away of to see how these things are so smart to do things like this.
Even bring in the types of material that they use, you'd think, oh, it's just going to be all laying right there. But when you really look at it, you're like, no, they had to bring this. You know, you wonder, too, if that's part of their routine is, you know, going out and getting the right material for that, if it's not right there. You know what I mean? They would actually do that, too, carry it a little ways or, you know, things like that if it's not readily. Because I found some stuff of the vegetation where I'd see the style of it, but I'd look around and I didn't really see it that close to me. So, you know, transporting, I suppose.
But pretty incredible stuff, isn't it?
It really is. And it's interesting a little bit also, just off a different subject, with the boulders and rocks. When they're in an area where they don't have the trees, it's interesting how they'll use the rocks and the boulders to do markings as well.
Well, what about,
have you noticed that?
When you see them stacked up?
Yeah.
And they have one
yeah.
that on top, like toward, looking like an arrow in the direction where they're going. It's like a signal for the other ones that are following them.
And we have so many boulder fields around here. I would look at how the boulders were perched up on things, and I thought that that would look so unnatural. But now I'm realizing that it probably is unnatural. You know, it's just not a language that we understood, so we're just kind of looking at it. But you wonder if, you know, I just look at the boulders differently now, too. I'll look at everything differently, just as to look at it as a potential of communication.
And I know exactly how you feel on that, because
yeah.
I did it myself in the beginning, and I said to myself, really? And then when we went out on another one and another one and another one, you got me looking at everything that's out there, and the guys are saying, hey, what are you trying to be, a Professor Clouseau out here? Why don't we stick to basics, Tom? You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I wonder. I don't know. It's But you're right, though. You know, you stop to think to yourself, is it me? Is this what it's all about? I don't
well,
know.
And also it can be used as a way of just being mindful. You know, like knowing about the tree structures, I don't think if you knew about them that you would camp right in their place. So if there was a boulders, that's also another, like, meeting area that you don't recognize, you could also potentially be in a space, you know what I'm saying? So it's just more knowledge to just be able to navigate the environment safely and respectfully, you know.
No, I totally agree with you. So
yeah.
You said there's fires going on around you guys, right?
They have been off and on all summer. We've got, I think there was, we had one pop off over by Prescott where that earthquake, we had a 3.3. And then within 48 hours, they had a hot spot show up not too far from it. So that's where they started mapping all the other 3.3 and above, under 4.0 earthquakes, and then seeing if there's any hot spots that have come up around that vicinity within the next 2 days. And that's where they're coming up with a pattern. But anyway, so with that, so I think we've got that far going. But we've had fires from the Superstitions to Four Peaks to Table Mesa to Spur Cross to Crown King. It's all around the recreational areas around here. So whether it's intentional, whether it's not, whether it's shenanigans, but they keep closing everything. So we haven't really been able, which for the summer has been okay because it's been so hot. We haven't really wanted to get out too deep anyway, but they just keep closing everything, and they just want to, it's just ridiculous. It really is. But we're just trying to go along to get along, I guess.
It's an amazing story. Listen, I appreciate you coming in and adding your two cents, and hopefully you'll gather some new stuff down the line, and you're always welcome here with us. We love you to bits, as you know. And next time, answer your phone, will you?
Oh, you know what? I've been getting so many phone calls from these people trying to solicit a political view that I'm sure people can see that on a text too. That unless there's a name attached to it, I usually go to voicemail. But I didn't get any voicemail. So, but with everything going on with communications, I'm sorry I didn't get it. Or I would have loved to have met with you, but yeah, I didn't get it. So,
it's okay. Next time.
Next time. There
you
go.
We've got a future ahead of us, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks for taking the time and sharing your stories with me and our audience around the globe. Just mute yourself out. We've got a whole lot more show, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Elizabeth. God love her, and she's out there in Arizona. Interesting gal. I'm going to hook up with her sometime for sure. Rocky, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't we go to commercial and pay some bills?
Well, I believe we can do that.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, That's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And we're back.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, every time I hear that little ditty, that's the one that started it all for me. There was a couple of prior, but nothing to the prominence that this one did. Bigfoot Lives one. It makes the hair on my neck go back up and say, hey, do you remember those days? Remember where you were? What you did? And that's kind of a reminiscent story in itself. But while we're talking about this, I want to also bring up our newest movie, and you'll see the little teaser that I talked about earlier, which is, you can see it on our Facebook. Go to Facebook, put in Searching for Bigfoot, and you'll see the second one down, Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths. It's a four-part series. You'll really dig it. And at the same point in time, if you want to see our other movie that just came out, you go to Tubi TV, TubiTV.com, and you'll see our movie that is out for free, but you got to stay on for at least 21 minutes, and you'll see it in its entirety. Don't cost you 5 cents. Free. F-R-E-E. Now what I'd like to do, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go on the East Coast for a minute and talk to one of our contributing reporters and hosts, Mr. Leo. You out there, Leo?
Sir.
What's going on in the Uwari, man? I'm hearing all this action going on.
Well, as you heard from one of my good friends, Mike Green, on our last episode when he was talking about, you know, how he's getting the people riding by, things of that nature, the Uwari Forest is turning into a hot spot. You know, if you go down there and you go camping, you see a lot of people setting up camp, and they're not just there setting up camp and camping out. They're looking for the big fella. You know, you'll see a lot of weird vehicles such as vans that have been altered for certain things. And, you know, it's a lot of people that's down there. And it's a lot of sightings out that's not reported. So now during the season that the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts are out in the woods, they're opening back up. So a lot of things are moving on. And just like you said, Godfather hit the nail on the head, the migration. I think that's happening a lot now. I got a lot of time on my hands. I got to burn before retirement. So the next couple of months, I'm getting ready to go down and set up my new cameras and see what I can get. So it's a lot going on.
Tell me the other story about our fellow in Florida that you're going to be hooking up with.
That's right. That's right. I got a gentleman in Florida. He's very, 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 very secretive. He told me a story about some areas between Florida and Georgia where he's been, and he's got some very intriguing video. And I'm going to link up with him in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to get a face-to-face with him and see what type of video and see what type of photos he's got. He's sounding convincing, but as you always taught us, Godfather, they'll say one thing, you meet him up and find another. So I'm hoping it's going to be worth my while when I meet him.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious as hell myself. I got to tell you guys this to share it with you. I got a call around 11:30 Pacific time, and it was from Michigan. And this wasn't no prank call. It was the real deal. A family was out camping. It was a couple of older gentlemen, their wives and their kids and some grandkids. And they had seen one of these creatures, and they took a picture. And, you know, it was 11:30 my time, and they were about 20 miles from the Upper Peninsula, as they call it, the UP. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This is where a lot of action's going on also. And the guy that called me, I was negligent because you were going to call me back and show me the pictures that you took and send them to me, but you didn't. I would love to hear from you again. You sounded so sincere, you and your family. They recorded the sound of this creature, and all he kept on saying was he had never heard these screams in the middle of, and like he said to me, there's nobody out here. Okay, they trekked in there 5-6 miles, and there is nobody around, okay? And they didn't know what to think. They were scared, okay? So as you know, there's not many people that you can call 24/7 like you can call us. And if there's nobody out on the switchboard, it'll transfer over to me because I'm a night owl. I don't sleep a lot anymore. And they get to talk to me. And at the same point in time, I'm listening to these stories, and it's just blowing me away. But I'm really curious to meet this guy from Florida. Let me ask Rocky. Rocky, is Youngblood on?
No, sir. He has not called in yet.
He hasn't called in. Well, he works, this poor guy. He took over his uncle's job, ladies and gentlemen. Youngblood was like my own son. This was the guy that I flew out and hired him right away. I guess he was with me for 12 years. And then he had to take care of his family business, which he's doing. He called me the other day and he said, hey, Chief, he says, you ain't going to believe this. I'm working 12, 15 hours a day and 7 days a week sometimes. It just hasn't stopped. And he said, I'd love to come back because I know people want to hear our stories and what we've done together and all that. So if by him not coming, I totally understand because it's something that I bet you he fell asleep. He's working so many hours a day. But you know what? We got a whole lot more people on. Is my brother Sweet on?
Well, he certainly is.
Why don't we get Sweet, Arkansas? My good brother Sweet, you out there?
Oh, yeah, Tom. I'm listening in here.
How are you, young man?
I'm good.
You know, I got a couple of questions for you that the people around the globe had asked, and I've neglected to, because you got to forgive me. I'm getting older now, and my memory isn't as sharp as it used to be. So there's two in particular. They wanted to know, how did you get hooked up with our organization, and how long have you been with us?
Well, Tom, let me think. Well, you know, of course, Rocky, my best friend Rocky, is how I got hooked up with you. Me and Rocky's always went to the woods and stuff, Tom. Like, you know, everybody should know, we've got way over 100 years between us in the woods. And the deal with Rocky's little incident that he had is what got me involved with you, and I can't tell you how many years it's been. It's got to be more than 10. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Rocky, no,
I'm sure it is. It's been
been a long time, hasn't it, Tom? I know it's been more than 10.
Yeah, I think it's around 12 minimum. So they also asked, besides the 120 mile death walk and the incident that you talked about where your ears were ringing when you lit up that shot and you thought you hit one of those things, what is the most inspiring story that you could tell everybody that you and Rocky had experienced, or you yourself, looking for this creature?
I guess, well, there's a lot. But one that comes to mind to me was, directly, just in my opinion, it's directly linked to the creature and its habits. And you kind of get, from different stuff you see in the water, the way stuff is worked, and like the pawpaw trees being pulled over real easy instead of them being all roughed up like the bears do. Things you know that's happening, but you don't see it in person, but you can tell it's happened. And whenever that we were riding down through there in that rain that time, and I had to stop to use the bathroom and got off of the bike. We were just sitting there kind of taking a break anyway. It was a rough ride, kind of regrouping. Went over there to take a leak, and I'm looking at this log laying on the ground, and it looked like it was a half in two laying down there. Big log, 20 inches or better through it. And I went over and I lifted that lid. I lifted it up like a lid on a steamer chest. And inside of it, it is just had the outside rim, and inside of it, I found that shed deer horn inside that log. Like it was a tool that something had been using to dig in there to get grubs and stuff in that loose, where that wood was all rotten inside that log, and left it in there. So it would be there, and nothing else, rats and all couldn't chew on it. And when I found that thing, which I do still have that, and that was one of the big highlights. Rocky couldn't believe it. He's like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, it was inside the log. Check it out." And we marveled over that for a long time about, and you're trying to decipher, why would it be in there? There was nobody down there in the woods that had it in there, no human. There's no openings on either end of the log. It had to be lifted up and put inside there and closed down on it. So, yeah, that was one of those kind of things that sticks in my head. The creature I saw standing in the creek and run out of the creek was a big event too for me personally. But
Sweet, about her name is Denise in New Jersey, and she's saying right now, what was Swede's most scariest moment chasing the creature or looking for the creature?
Really, the scariest moment with the creature was the night that we had taken the shot, and me and Rocky got so far away from camp after that thing in the dark, and you get wound up in the moment. Most of the time we stay real focused on, which way we're going, which way, everything. But it kind of led us down to the point where we really didn't know exactly where we were at one point, and had to kind of regroup as the sun come up and get our bearings back to where we were. And that was a little bit unnerving, because when we took off that night, we were armed, and we had, edged tools, but we didn't have much more than that. And, to stay out for an extended time down there is the way it is. You really have to have some provisions and have a little bit more than just you, because you're going to have to lay down at some point. But, that was a little bit scary. It wasn't really scary. It was just we really just about pushed the limit of our ability that night and into the next day. Actually, it's 24 hours of it. But
a long period of time in the darkness. I know the story. So now Denise wants to know, I hope you got your right answer, Denise. I know it's the right answer for me. Now that she wants to hear from Rocky, besides the time that you shot the creature and he flung you and knocked you out, what was the most scariest moment that you had on expedition with me? Rocky?
With when I was actually with you,
yeah.
You think about we were in Dutton, and Jeremy had left camp, walking to Lake Dead in the dark, and finally, sharper minds took control, and we jumped on the four-wheelers and started down toward Lake Dead, see if we could find him. And when we got, I don't know, we were maybe halfway there, the headlights, something didn't look right in that one stretch. And so I stopped and got off and looked, and sure enough, there was footprints going across the road. And so I had telling y'all, yeah, come up here and look at all this. And Steve from Texas, he stayed on his side-by-side while I was pointing out the tracks and all that. And while that was going on, we heard Steve say, "Hey, man, come back here and look at this." And right on both sides of his side-by-side, there were tracks, larger tracks. Okay, so we didn't know that, if maybe, a couple of them decided to eat Jeremy or not, but I don't think he would have tasted very good. But anyhow, I had the hair on the back of my neck was standing up because we had already been down through there earlier that day. There was no tracks then. And I was thinking, well, are we being watched? And is Jeremy, a fatality? But I mean, yeah, I was worried about that. We finally found him, went back to camp. But the fact that, within hours of us having been through there, seeing no tracks in the daylight, we ran onto two sets of tracks crossing the road way after dark. And the fact is, when me and Doyle was sitting out there in the, we was talking at 8 minutes after midnight when we heard the thing squall out, just 50 yards out of camp. Well, that kind of got the adrenaline flowing. Then two nights later, it happened again. A little bit further out, but nevertheless, it was a spooky thing. And, fortunately, we had toilet paper and clean clothes to put on.
Really? This is something that'll stick in your brain and then your craw for the rest of your life. I know exactly
absolutely
how you feel. I've got many, many, many things. Guy named Jim, I hope I'm saying this the right way, Lowensinski from New Mexico, believe it or not, asking a question to Father Ray. Father Ray, you out there?
See if he's called back in.
I'm here.
Are you there, Ray? All right.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Father Ray, the guy wants to know, what was your scariest time when you were out with us?
Gee, it's hard to answer. Scariest. It's hard to answer that question because I can't say I've been scared. I was afraid.
Is afraid and scared the same thing?
Yes, I would say. I'd say so. Being afraid, being frightened, I've not of a situation where I was concerned more because, but it wasn't with you. It was with JC. May God have mercy on him. He asked me to go to a Navajo family, I think in Upper Fruitland. He went with me, saying that there was someone in the they were reporting a creature scratching on the windows and the of the of their house. Was it Bigfoot? Was it Chalupa? Was it the animal, the creature that flies? And went because they were kind of at the base of Shannon Cliffs, or the continuation of Shannon Cliffs, on the other side of the San Juan River. So I went there, and I saw they had an old vehicle out banged, which they claim a creature had done that. Bigfoot, they were talking more about what is the name of that creature? That's a chalupa or
chupacabra?
Chupacabra. Chupacabra. That's what they were saying is what they encountered. And they said there was a young lady in the family who had been kind of delving in things of the occult. And so I advised them to cease and desist doing those things. I saw the scratch. I've said the blessing, bless the house with holy water. I saw scratch marks on the side of the house, etc. And then we left. So that would be the most concerning incident I've had. Was it with the they didn't think it was Bigfoot, but the chupacabra.
Well, I'll tell you what. I remember Brenda. You remember Brenda's home?
Yes.
She had some compelling evidence out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that film, because the guys on Travel Channel with Ghost Stories, Zach Bagans, they showed that same footage where it looked like the creature was coming out from a hole in the ground and went into one of those trailers. And we saw it first, ladies and gentlemen. I'm letting you know that right now. And it was kind of scary. And then we went over to this little island along with JC in these little canoes that he had where they thought this thing was roosting. That's something that I'll never forget neither. Thanks for your story. Thanks for your 2 cents, Father Ray. And I hope to Harry that he answered your question. Somebody's asking me about Doyle. Is Doyle still with us?
Yes, sir, he is.
Let's talk to Doyle for a minute. Doyle, you out there?
How you doing, Godfather?
Well, I'm alive, son. I'm alive. It sounds like you're still alive, too. Everybody wants to know.
One day above ground is better than nothing at all.
That's right. We didn't wake up this morning looking at a bunch of roots, did we?
No, sir.
So here's the question.
We've been blessed.
What has been your most exciting adventure when you've been out with us, i.e. TJ, me, or by yourself?
Which one of 100 do you want to hear?
Well, let's hear the most compelling. The scariest.
Well,
since Halloween
I was thinking today, and I talked to Rocky earlier today, and I've never told a story about the Alabama cattle farm.
Well, tell us.
Well, there was a fella in Alabama. He don't want his name on the show. He don't want his address or nowhere. He don't want anybody to know where the farm's at in Alabama. But he's the cattle rancher. He's not a farmer. He's a rancher. And he called in and said that he was losing cattle every day. And we headed to Alabama, and we got down there, and we set up a campsite near a natural spring so we could have some fresh water that was there on the farm or the ranch. And some of the best water I ever drank in my life. But anyway, we were there and we set up camp and we took turns, you know, just watching. Now, in the middle, you got to think, in the middle of this ranch, there's probably 40 acres of swampland that sits right down in the bottom of the ranch. So we took turns just, you know, looking out through them. We were taking turns looking out through the thermal. And I caught something. I can't say it's a Bigfoot, Tom. I don't know. But we caught something on the thermal that was standing there watching us from the tree line right up next to the swamp. And the reason we caught it is because it would move every now and then. It wasn't a windy night or nothing. It wasn't a tree. It was you know, pretty good size, but it wasn't a tree. So I showed it to TJ. I said, look here, see what I got. He looked at me and said, let's get on the side by side, get your gun. I said, okay. So I grabbed my AR. I grabbed my 40 caliber. And Tommy fired up the side by side. And there we headed out. Now, this is probably 300 yards from where the swamp area is at. So we head out that way, and we've got the headlights on the side-to-side, and we've got the spotlights on the side-to-side. And I've still got the thermal looking at it. Well, this damn thing turned and headed into the swamp when we got about 100 yards away from it. And the craziest thing happened. We had all kinds of critters come out running from the swamp like they were scared or something. We had squirrels. We had possums. We had raccoons, and everything started running towards our lights, which is not at all, I mean, not at all normal. But they were less scared of us than they were of whatever went into that woods. Well, there's a clearing about an eighth of a mile around that swamp. And TJ said, if it's running through the swamp, let's go get it on the other side. And I said, okay, go. And the video should be on the website when we were chasing this thing. But anyway, we went and hit that clearing and come out on the other side. And we'd been investigating cattle mutilations the whole week. And they were the craziest things I ever seen. And then I'll get back to the story about us. But we went down there, and the cattle farmer was baffled. He contacted the wildlife, fishing game, a forestry division, everything. They come out, he was losing cattle, I mean, like daily. But there was one incident, which is on Facebook. If you go look for it, TJ Viscardi, Bigfoot Hunter, whatever. But we found one carcass that was sucked completely dry from the belly up. And the bones were all broken in it, and the marrow was sucked out of the bones, but the back side of the carcass hadn't even been touched yet.
Wow. Okay. So let's put you on hold for a second, because we're coming to the witching hour. I want to get back out there to the East Coast. Now they want to know about Leo's biggest
situation when he's been on expedition. Leo, you still there?
I'm still here, Godfather.
They want to know about what's been your most compelling action out in the field.
Okay. Well, I'll be real brief. I know we got a little short time. When TJ came to Iwari Forest, and we went to the site where Mike Green filmed his night vision or his thermal video, and he wanted to go deep into the forest. So we went deep into the Iwari Forest to a place called Camp No Camp. And make a long story short, Big Frank went back to the camp, and we seen some people walking up the road. It was very hot that night, and we heard something break at the bottom of the hill because your grandson, Tommy, was filming at the time, and we thought it was Tommy. And I said, well, maybe it's a deer or maybe it's a bear or something. So, and I looked back at TJ, and like I say, this was so dark you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face with a flashlight. And I said, well, maybe it's the kids from the camp up there that's camping about a half a mile down the road. And Big Frank came back, and Big Frank was whispering. And Frank was like, it's not them. They just went back to the camp. And I was like, oh, shit. So I'm reaching for my weapon at the time that I left back at the camp, which is about 50 yards away. And I cleaned the young blood like stink to shit. And I said, well, young blood, if you... You're the only one got a weapon, and I'm going with the person that got the weapon. So that was kind of unnerving, but and it's pitch black, and you don't know what's out there. And I said, young blood, I hope I'm hugging on to you, you know, because, like I say, you're the only one got the firepower here in case something happens. So that was kind of real unnerving being that far in the woods. It was kind of scary.
You know, I want to thank you, Leo. I want to thank Elizabeth. I want to thank Rocky. I want to thank Doyle. I want to thank Swede. I want to thank Father Ray. Hopefully, maybe next week we can get Youngblood on. And if I missed anybody, forgive me. But I got to tell you guys, it's like old home week when we have these reunions and we tell these stories. Because when you stop and think about it, we've been to every state in the union but two. And we're going to talk about it next week. So, Leo?
Yes, sir.
Star, I'm going to leave the rest of the 2 minutes, 3 minutes left to you. Kudos and salutations. Until next time, America.
Well, Rock, another great show.
Good night from Kentucky.
It was good to hear from Doyle and good to hear from you, Swede.
Good to hear from you, Leo, Swede, Rocky, everybody on here. Lorraine,
yep, I'll make sure. Hey, Swede, I'll make sure I spell your name correct.
Good night, guys.
Hey, Swede, I'll make sure your name is spelled correctly next week.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you got it. It's all right, man. It's all good.
Hey, I love you guys, man. Love you guys dearly, man. Extended family, like the Godfather say. Hey, folks, come back next week. Listen to The Godfather again with more compelling stories. And also, like you said, go to Tubit TV. That's Tubit TV, Tubit.com, and watch Poodle Bigfoot for free. And also go to Searching for Bigfoot and get all your Bigfoot gear. I love you guys and folks. I'll see you next week. Who brought
hey,
you?
It's a
I
want to
thank
the
all the guests.
Board.
I want to thank all the guests. I want to thank all the listeners. Without y'all, we wouldn't be here.
Good job, Rob.
Good night, Marco Bill, up in heaven.
Good night, Marco Bill, up in heaven.
Good night, everybody. It's been a great show.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.